we have no choice other than to go to the hotline and introduce our next guest on the local beat from the Chronicle Telegram, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. It's Dave O'Brien. Dave, how are we today, sir?
Oh, we're doing all right, Rocco. Doing all right.
Good to hear. Good to hear. It's tough times, and you know, I get a lot of negative answers when I ask how people are doing. So good to see that you are not, you know, throwing things at a wall or breaking things in half in frustration right now.
So. Definitely not. Working from the home office kind of makes that if I make a mess, I got to clean it up.
So. Yeah, funny how that changes things. I wanted to start here with this Open Ohio rally that went down this past Saturday. I saw you were there, got some cool footage. What all went down there? What was that turnout like? What was it, an angry crowd? Were they a bit mild? How did that all shake out on Saturday?
Well, you know, this is a really determined, it's a pretty determined crowd, I would say, that turned out, you know, Saturday at the corner of 83 and Detroit Road, as I think we discussed a little bit last week, about how they were planning to go out as part of one of these Rally Around Ohio events, sponsored by the Free Ohio Now movement. And basically, folks are out waving American flags, you know, holding signs, you know, encouraging passing cars to honk and wave, and they got a fair amount of that. They want Governor DeWine and Ohio Department of Health Director Dr. Amy Acton to basically reopen the state for business. They're saying that healthy people, you know, don't really need to wear masks and gloves and take precautions. They're saying that, yeah, sure, the elderly and people with compromised immune systems ought to stay home and stay well, and they don't want to get anybody hurt. But there were about, I would say about 100 people. I estimated about 100 people at the height of it. I would say, you know, give or take, probably more like give another 10, so maybe, you know, 115, you know, who are out there. And they listened to Bob France talk about how he feels about things. And he was the guest speaker, and then they went out and they marched and stood along the sides of the road. And basically they were just saying, hey, look, you know, we have rights too. You know, we want our right to, you know, to reopen business, get the economy churning again. We just want things to be fair and equitable and really just, you know, just get people back to work. Now, public health officials that you know, we at the Chronicle Telegram have talked to, and state officials, you know, who are taking advice from public health officials, have said, you know, not quite yet. And there is some reopening going on. You're going to see retail reopening in the next couple of days. You're going to see, you know, hair salons and if the tattoo parlors and the tattoo artists have anything to say about it, they want to reopen as well to be able to feed their families. And we understand the frustration and confusion, you know, about some of these rules. But people were really out there, and I wouldn't say it was very heated at all. I think everybody was rather respectful, even if not wearing masks like is recommended. They were really just trying to get their point across, and they're perfectly entitled to do that. And we went out and covered it and got some good video footage and photos. You can see at chronicleT.com. And it was just really it was a lot of people who were very you know, who were just very concerned about what all these shutdown orders are going to mean for the state economy.
Yeah, definitely a lot of people concerned about the reopening of the economy. A lot of small businesses, unfortunately, not being able to make it through this. So I'm sure that's where a lot of that frustration might stem from. Are there more of these planned that you know of, or was this sort of a one and done deal for now?
Well, there's expected to be a much larger rally, I would think, at the Ohio State House on May 16th. Now, that's the one that I'm aware of. If other rallies crop up spontaneously in Lorain County, definitely we'll try to cover those across the state. Again, you know, that one down at the State House, you know, this coming weekend is expected to be a thing. And yeah, again, you know, it's sometimes they sort of crop up spontaneously, and other times they're planned and executed that way.
Absolutely, absolutely. Joined by Dave O'Brien from the Chronicle-Telegram, joining us, giving us the latest on the local beat. Again, this is brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Now, Dave, I saw you had a story about one of the stabbings that unfortunately had occurred in the last couple of days, and kind of an unfortunate, bizarre occurrence. There seemed to be a handful of these that went down over the last couple of days, but I saw there was one in particular over by Middle Avenue that you had covered, and it talked about an online argument. I believe it was on Facebook that had sparked this whole thing. Can you maybe share what that was all about?
So this is an unfortunate incident that occurred, Friday. On Middle Avenue, in the 1800 block of Middle Avenue, and one woman's been arrested, and another woman is unfortunately, deceased as a result of this stabbing. But from what prosecutors are saying right now, is that Ebony McElroy and Isis Bennett Jones got together on Middle Avenue, on Friday, and after some sort of argument they had online. Now, what in particular that argument was about, it's not entirely clear. We've heard some rumors kind of back and forth, to the effect of it was some sort of disagreement, potentially might have been over, a male known to both of them. We don't really know at this point. The police and prosecutors didn't really specify. But basically what happens is that Ms. McElroy was arrested and is being held on a $2 million cash bond in the Lorain County Jail. After she stabbed Ms. Bennett Jones multiple times, and there was an arraignment Monday morning in Elyria Municipal Court, and basically that's a lot of what we know. A knife was recovered following a search warrant by police, and it had been stashed somewhere else. And there's an additional felony charge, but right now Ms. McElroy faces aggravated murder, felonious assault, tampering with evidence charges. And further hearings are coming down the line in the next couple days and weeks and months, and we'll keep you posted in the Chronicle Telegram if we learn more.
Yeah, definitely an unfortunate story there, and again a couple of those over the last couple of days. Now moving to another kind of interesting piece here: 744 rejected ballots from the April election. What all happened with these ballots, and what's kind of the plan moving forward?
Well, this is one of those things that has happened in these unprecedented times. I know I've told you and Bull before, that really kind of the buzzword for for 2020 is unprecedented, and also I would say unexpected. But because a lot of what happened in the April 28th election, the vast majority of the votes that were cast by mail. So you had a large number of people who maybe, weren't notified exactly of the requirements, or didn't exactly maybe read the rules and the policies and procedures on how to return a lot of these ballots, into the Board of Elections for counting on April 28th. Now there was a certain postmark date that people had to meet in order to get those, in the mail. And, for a variety of reasons, the board rejected, just over 600 absentee ballots. That's about 1.5% of the almost 43,000 ballots that were cast, primarily through the mail. But then there were another number of what they call provisional ballots. And provisional ballots are, if you go to the wrong, you walk up in a normal election to the wrong precinct or the wrong polling place, and you say, hey, I'd like to vote. And they say, well, you're not on the rolls here. And you think there's some sort of error, well, you might get what's called a provisional ballot, and that's one that you fill out, and then elections officials down the line will decide, okay, was it just a simple, error on your part, and can your vote be counted? Other times you voted previously for some of the issues that you cared about, but then on down the line you said, oh gosh, there's really somebody I want to vote for in the prosecutor's race. Or there's really somebody I want to vote for in the county commissioner's race. So you return to the Board of Elections and you say, hey, can I get another ballot, that just has the candidates on it? I already voted for the issues, but now I want to vote for the candidate. Well, in certain circumstances, those votes might also not be counted. There's a lot of rules, and some of them are, very arcane. and confusing and you know, based on a lot of different directives that come out of the Secretary of State's office when it comes to the legality of, you know, of under election law. So there were I think more than 400, but 421 absentee ballots that were not received on time or simply missed the deadline for submission. So you get to see that, like, there were some people that just didn't really reach the deadline there, and had they been allowed to go and vote on election day, the original election day on March 17th, they might have those votes might have been counted, but because they weren't in the mail on time, well, they weren't counted. They didn't have a postmark, or they didn't have the appropriate barcode on the back to say, for the postal service to say, yes, we received this at this time, and now you can we're going to send it on to the Board of Elections, and they will count it. It ended up being a little under 2% of all the votes that were cast, in the April 28th election, simply were discounted by the board, which is made up of, two Democrats and two Republicans. It's a four-person board. And then there are two directors, a deputy director and an executive director who make a lot of these recommendations. And each one of them is from one of the political parties, and the other from one Republican, one Democrat, is what I'm saying. We had a kind of a large number of errors in this in this election when it came to submitting ballots.
And you certainly could have seen, maybe not those exact errors coming, but some sort of error occurring as a result of this unorthodox election. Now, for somebody who maybe isn't super well-versed in the world of politics and voting, such as myself, what does a 2%, if I understood you there correctly, what does a 2% rejection rate mean as far as the result? Is that a big deal? Is that sort of not a big deal? Where does that lie in that spectrum?
Well, that could be. I mean, that could potentially be something that may have, we'll never know because those votes were rejected. But it may have been something that could have tilted the balance in a really close election. Say my opponent has 10,000 votes and I have 10,001. Well, if he got an additional 200 votes out of those rejected ballots that now will never be counted, and I only got 198 or fewer. Well, then, there's potential that he might have been, elected over me. He might have been chosen by the voters over me. Again, we'll never know, because those were not counted, and that's not something that really gets done. but you're looking at, out of 43,000 ballots cast, 700. That's like I said, about a little less than 2%. And again, this election cycle was completely unprecedented. I mean, Ohioans in particular, whereas some other states, like for example, Oregon, conduct most of their voting, or a significant portion of their voting by mail. Ohio really wasn't used to this. Now, some people were used to requesting ballots online, getting them in the mail, filling out all the necessary information, providing IDs. And sending them back off, and just kind of the fire and forget kind of means of voting, if you will. Other people, like myself, are just much more used to going to the polls, ticking off the boxes, filling in the circles, punching in things on a computer screen, depending on how your county does their voting, their in-person voting. So it's something that I think people will adjust to. If it continues to happen, some people maybe enjoyed the process of voting by mail. Again, they can just kind of do it and then send it off in the mail. Others might be driven, back to the polls. If we can have a larger in-person election, people might say, hey, I really didn't like this process. But I think we'll be finding out more and more as time goes on, and depending on what happens in November, whether this was just an anomaly or whether this is kind of one of those things they say is the new normal.
Yeah, November should be very, very interesting indeed. Well, Dave, we'll end on this as we normally do, and this has quickly become one of my favorite radio bits in my young radio career thus far. Scanner stories, always an interesting bunch of tales you have for us here. So what do you have for us today in the world of scanner stories?
Well, it's never a time with you guys on the radio here without a story of perhaps inappropriate nudity. Dateline East Cleveland, a disturbance under the Shaw Manhattan Bridge. A female wearing a red hat keeps taking her clothes off and then putting them right back on.
Huh. And that's it. Just on and off, on and off. And that's, wow. Well,
not the appropriate changing room, I think. But,
No. I wouldn't say so. That's certainly an interesting way to pass the time or whatever her end goal with that is. But might want to find a different location for that. Not great. Not great. Well, Dave, we appreciate the time as always. Thank you very much for joining me here today. I look forward to talking to you again next week.
Sounds good, Rocco. Thanks so much.
And thanks again. There's Dave O'Brien from the Chronicle Telegram on the local beat, brought to you by Vandemark Jewelers.